Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXOradio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, with Scott and Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. And our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. Give us a call. Also, you can access our podcast, especially this show, on KXOradio.com. And click on the live podcast.
Especially this show.
Yeah.
No, they're all up there. But you get top billing every time
the new show comes out. This is an...
It goes right to the top of the list.
Exactly.
And the list is really long now, but there are some great shows on that list. We should have, like, we should get, like, host features and put a little star, you know, if we really thought it was, like, a great show next to it on the podcast. So you could just scroll down that list of 100 names and figure out which ones Scott and Maria thought were, like, special picks. Mario could even have his special picks, too.
But today we have...
Okay. Hey, we got a good show for you today. Stay tuned. Alzheimer's Association is in the house. And his name is Frank Espinosa, and he is the regional manager of the Imperial Valley Alzheimer's Association. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Imperial Valley. It is great to be here today. I'm really excited about the opportunity, and I just came here to share the information, you know, that we provide. We're a nonprofit here in the Imperial Valley, and we have different services offered to the community, I guess ask me some questions, and I'm more than happy to answer them.
We got a lot of older baby boomers and baby boomer parents in this community, right?
Correct.
And those are the guys we got to watch out for, right? Because Alzheimer's is typically a geriatric condition, an older age condition.
That is correct. Well, one of the common risk factors is age and family history. So a great deal of individuals that are suffering with the disease are over 65,
mm-hmm.
and so we definitely try to connect with these individuals by going out there and providing support groups. We provide, we participate in community health fairs, and we just really try to provide as much information to have people. Give the people opportunity to know more about the association, about the disease, most of all. And
well, let's start there. Give us the background information on Alzheimer's.
Okay.
You know, we hear a lot about Alzheimer's, but, you know, the first thing that goes with Alzheimer's is just, well, they just can't remember. They don't remember.
Well, a lot of people definitely do have a misconception on the disease, but, Alzheimer's disease is a progressive, gradually degenerative disease of the brain that results in brain cell death. So, you know, in more harsh terms...
That was pretty harsh.
Yeah.
It started pretty harsh.
I know, and a lot of people do get somewhat, you know, intimidated by the definition, but it is a very, very devastating disease, and, you know, the profound memory loss, the changes in behavior, the ability to reason, and overall decline in cognitive functioning really alarms people in the community. And then I think it's really important to identify how severe these changes in the brain are, you know, because people then assume that because they're forgetting the keys, you know, one day, but they remember the next, you know, they're like, oh my God, I have Alzheimer's disease or something's wrong with me.
Surely an early symptom.
No.
I'm already doing that.
No, I started doing that as soon as I had my daughter. My memory just went,
no, but that's, you know, that's why, you know, I think it's really important for us to go out there and provide information and allow people to access the information through health fairs, through community events, because they do have that idea that just because they see certain changes in their daily living or their daily lifestyle that can probably correlate to certain symptoms of
mm-hmm.
dementia or Alzheimer's, they begin to fear that they may have something. And so I think it's really important for us to, you know, give them the correct information and let them know that these changes in the mind or in the brain on forgetting things is normal. It's part of aging. But when it begins to impair your daily living, I mean your daily life, then that's probably the time that, you know, they need to go out to see a specialist. Or
and that's why I have you here.
Oh, great.
Well, it's because I have family members that are getting older.
Yeah, not us, mind you.
Not me.
No.
But I have family members that are getting older, and I want to know, you know, what are the signs and symptoms, and, you know, I
hi, Mom, happy Thanksgiving.
I hope
I'm
going to
do this little test, and I want to, if you pass, we'll
yeah, I mean, it, this is a devastating disease.
It is.
And, you know, I hope none of my family members get Alzheimer's, but, you know,
what things
can I do to, you know, I know that there's some things that could prevent, not prevent it, but, you know, prolong it or maybe prevent.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Finding it early must be real important.
So that's why.
Yes, early diagnosis is very important, and part of the Alzheimer's Association's mission is to reduce the risk of, you know, Alzheimer's through promotion of brain health. So brain health is a very important and intricate part of, you know, the whole concept of the association. And by promoting brain health, you know, the individual engages in different activities, whether it be a healthy lifestyle by eating healthier, better socializing.
You mean more McDonald's or less?
I guess the salad part, you know, the salad section. No, but I think, you know, a little bit of everything, you know, having good relationships, being involved in the community, less stress, you know, a healthy living style. So that's the most important part of reducing the risk. And then early diagnosis is also, you know, imperative. And I think that educating family caregivers is also very important, because a lot of times the early diagnosis doesn't happen. So, you know, there comes a time where the family caregiver is severely stressed out, burned out, doesn't know where to go. And I think also with the information and the programs that we offer, we try to empower the caregiver so he or she can advocate, you know, for the loved one who's suffering with the disease.
Going back to brain health, I heard that doing like crossword puzzles.
Absolutely.
You know, like, since the brain is like muscle, is it? Oh, no, it's not muscle. What
it's
is it? Fat. It's fatty. But
it's
the heart is the muscle. Excuse me, the heart is the muscle.
Well, yeah.
But the brain, you know, just making it work and doing. I don't
know. Well, we're not getting older, but should we be doing stuff right now
exactly.
to help, you know, keep ourselves at lower risk, I suppose?
Absolutely.
Eating
healthy, exercising, you know, being socially active, I guess, you know, going to, you know, community events and, you know, obviously reading, keeping up to date with, you know, current events and things like that. I think my assumption, you know, and this is my personal opinion, I think we all have to have a more positive outlook and maintaining a balance, you know, not working too hard, because that could probably, you know, create stress, not worrying too much on financial stuff.
Have they tied it to something like stress? I mean, have they done studies and said, well, stress increases your Alzheimer's risk like 43% or something?
No, I think there's another correlation. It's diabetes type 2. Diabetes.
So that's like one of those things that's out there.
There's a lot of diabetes here in the Bay Valley.
Exactly. So therefore.
Oh, and you can trace diabetes back to stress and poor diet. And
exactly. So that's where, you know, that's why the promotion of brain health, exercising, you know, stress-free life, I mean, which is impossible nowadays, I think, to live stress-free.
Nor desirable. I mean,
well,
stress at all.
Mm-hmm. You need to balance your life. You know,
exactly.
You have to work. You know, we have to work. But then you also have to spend time for you.
Exactly.
You know, spend time with your family. Spend time, you know, so you need to learn how to balance, you know, your life.
If you're totally stress averse, or if you're like totally don't want to be stressed, then you're going to start getting stressed over stress.
I know. No, but I think it's very important to keep in mind that life's too short. You know, life's too short. We gotta take advantage of the opportunities we have every day. And like you said, you know, just maintaining balance and really educating, you know, educating our family members, educating ourselves to advocate for each other, you know, health-wise, and in general, I think. And so, you know, by educating, we definitely try to educate family caregivers on the difference, you know, between dementia and Alzheimer's. Because a lot of people make that comparison and they think that it's two separate things. Well, Alzheimer's is a form of dementia, and it's the most common form of dementia.
337-8874 is the phone number if you want to call. This is Let's Talk About It. We're here today with Frank Espinoza, who's the Imperial Valley Regional Manager of the Alzheimer's Association. So, Frank, what, I mean, because I'm really seriously thinking that this is going to be me someday. So what is the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia, and both of them sound like not much fun?
I know.
So, well, dementia is a set of symptoms that include, you know, memory loss, forgetfulness, and confusion. And like I said before, Alzheimer's is the most common cause of dementia, which represents 70% of all dementias. And there are other irreversible dementias or conditions that, you know, are in the category of dementia, like Parkinson's disease, Lewy body dementia, and vascular dementia. But Alzheimer's disease is, you know, like I said before, a progressive disease, and so therefore it's irreversible, and it results in brain cell death, and so.
That must be really, I mean, especially for people who have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, you know, they still have their memory, and just, it must be so devastating for them to know that, you know, maybe tomorrow I'm going to wake up and not even remember my family and my loved ones. And just likewise, the loved ones, the family members, you know, maybe one day, tomorrow my mom, my dad, is not going to remember me.
Well, I
just, it's a loss, you know, it's like somebody, you know, passing away, but they're still here. It's just that person doesn't even know who you are.
And it's funny that you say
so hard.
Because I get that a lot at the support groups that we offer, that, you know, family caregivers say it's like they've already passed away, mm-hmm. but they're still here physically. And it's very emotional, very frustrating and stressful. And I just, you know, my heart goes out to the family members, because it's a 24/7 job. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of these individuals and families don't have access to all the resources available out there. And so...
Why is that?
Sometimes it's because, you know, the avenues, the mediums aren't available. A lot of these individuals don't have access to internet, don't have access to transportation. And so it's usually a social worker,
mm-hmm.
or someone, you know, in the valley that goes out to the home and then sees the red light, and then they give us a call. So for us, it's really important to reach out to the community and to try to let people know that we are here for everyone who is going through this disease. It necessarily doesn't have to be the actual individual. It could be someone, a neighbor, who knows that their neighbor is going through something like this. So I think it's really important for us to be out there as much as possible.
Now, we talked a little bit about early detection being important, and you've mentioned a couple times that this is progressive, which means it has no reverse here.
Correct.
Are there ways to slow or perhaps almost halt the progression? Is medical technology catching up to this? Because, you know, everything about the baby boomers is very, very important. They've told us that. So now Alzheimer's, now that it's becoming their disorder, it seems like that would jump right up to the top of the list on things that need to be dealt with. Have they come up with medical ways of managing this yet?
Well,
take a pill. You know, is there a pill we can take?
Please.
Well, there are several, you know, medications out there, and usually it just slows down the process. But like you said, it's irreversible, and, you know, we definitely try to let people know that there is some type of medication, but we also emphasize that, unfortunately, there hasn't been a cure for the disease. So I think it's really important for us, for families, to get the early detection, to find ways to slow the process down, and to kind of improve the quality of life of the individual. you know, through medication, but other times it's also very important to implement, you know, the crossword puzzles, like Maria said, or the healthier lifestyle, you know, the balancing of the diet and things like that. So it's a little bit of
so it gives a little bit of more time for the family, just to kind of maybe
to enjoy, mm-hmm. to enjoy the time that, you know, that they're living with this person who eventually will pass on in the future, unfortunately.
Everybody. 237-8874 is the phone number. Alzheimer's Association is in the house.
We have
Frank Espinoza here. He's the regional manager. So what I hear some themes coming out already. The one theme is that we all have brains, and all of our brains have health or not. And we probably should be managing the health of our brains, because as Maria's pointing out, basically we are our brains. Our identity is really based on brain function. And there's some things that we can do to help protect ourselves, and perhaps not absolutely, but certainly give ourselves the best chance that we won't be touched by something like this.
Well, I think, you know, we probably should definitely always go reach out to our doctors. And I think having a voice is very important. A trend that I tend to see with older or baby boomers or older seniors, they really don't like to share what's going on, what changes are happening within the weeks or months, you know, prior to their doctor's visit. You know, they don't advocate for themselves, whether it be something that they don't like to do or they're very private. But it's important for us to let them know that they need to share all these changes, because those changes can make a huge difference in their lifestyle in the future. Like you said, because it could probably be a sign that could definitely mask some symptoms like dementia or Alzheimer's. So therefore, if they detect it on an early stage, medical intervention could probably be a good solution. And so, you know, those types of things are very important to us as an association, to really educate, empower, and just kind of give that extra shoulder to these families that may need, you know, the information and the support that they're looking for.
What would be what would be like the warning signs? What would, if you were, I mean, because you talk about engaging with a doctor, what would be like, okay, I really need to make an appointment and talk to a doctor today or next week or soon?
Well, the association has identified, you know, 10 warning signs of Alzheimer's, and for example, the first one is, you know, recent memory loss that affects job performance. Ding.
Don't be looking at me.
No, I mean, if you're at the job and you can't remember,
And I think, you know, that these warning signs definitely are, you know, important to understand that we're talking severe memory loss. You know, like, I mean, you're getting into the car, perhaps, and you don't even know where your job is.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So that
must be scary.
It is. And difficulty, you know, performing familiar tasks, such as preparing a meal, washing clothes, you know, these familiar, common tasks.
The things that you don't even think about doing.
Exactly.
Like automatic pilot things.
Exactly. Problems with language, disorientation of time and place, poor or decreased judgment. And I think this is a very common sign that does happen here. I think with fraudulent activity, you know, you have these individuals, these older seniors that are living alone, unfortunately, and haven't been diagnosed and are going through these changes where the family members...
With nobody to witness it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Or, you know, you have the neighbors coming in, unfortunately, stealing items from the home, or a family member probably going into the savings account, things like that, and that's...
So there's an exploitation risk as people become less attached to keeping track of stuff.
Exactly. Also, problems with abstract thinking, misplacing things, changes in mood or behavior.
What would that be, like depressed or aggressive?
You know, typically, once, you know, the disease starts to progress, a lot of the individuals become really introverted. You know, they begin to hide in the room. They don't want to go out to...
Well, because everything's very unfamiliar.
Exactly, exactly. So sometimes, you know, we probably as family members, we may misunderstand that concept and say, well, she or he's old. You know, it's like my grandfather's old, so he's probably tired or things like that. But if the person, you know, was a social person and at parties and really involved in the community, and then all of a sudden in a year's time becomes really, you know, just secluded and doesn't want to talk to anyone, something like that could probably be a red light. Or
is there some shame associated with this? Are people who suffer from Alzheimer's like symptoms or the disease itself, are they aware that they ain't what they used to be? I mean, is that part of the depressive or anger with this? Is that I know I used to be somebody, yes, different, and now I'm not that person anymore, and I'm not really happy with this.
Yes. These signs of aggression, these changes in mood, it's probably through frustration. They're acting on frustration because they can't do a specific task. You know, probably the part of the brain that is responsible for doing the task is impaired, but part of the brain that recognizes mm-hmm. the task isn't.
So if you pick up your keys and you're looking at your keys and you're wondering what the heck these are for, there's another part mm-hmm. that says, hey, you've been picking these up for 150 years. What in the heck's going on here?
Exactly. So then that's... Ugh.
So it's they're living in their own world. They begin to perceive the world so different from us that it definitely affects the whole family.
Well, and they're aware to some at some level that difference exists.
Exactly. And then if communication does get impaired eventually,
there's another one.
That's another challenge because you know they may want to express what they're feeling, but they
where's the word?
Exactly.
Where's the word? And we're going to find more words. So let's take a break. It's the top of the hour. This is Let's Talk About It, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health. We're here with Frank Espinoza from the Alzheimer's Association. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXLRadio.com.
And welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health. Our phone number here is 237-8874. And let's not forget, we're also brought to you by KUBO 88.7 Radio Bingley.
If you'd like to share today, catch us on the podcast at kxoradio.com. Mario will have that up in a week. So a couple of days. And all the shows are up there for your listening pleasure or educational enjoyment or whatever. We're joined today by Frank Espinoza. He's the Imperial Valley Regional Manager of the Alzheimer's Association. And we are talking about this scary monster hiding at the end of our cognitive lives.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
It's like looking into the closet and seeing a couple of dark eyes glowing out at you or something, huh?
Yeah.
Is this an Imperial Valley problem?
Yes, it is.
It's all nationwide, right? I mean,
But I mean, you know, it's just so strange. But I mean, Imperial County is the second fastest growing area in the state with Alzheimer's disease.
Well, could it be diabetes?
It could be diabetes.
Error.
No, it could because we have a lot of diabetes. A lot of people here with diabetes, and then you said that there was a correlation between diabetes type 2.
Correct. Which is also, you know, diabetes type 2 is also correlated with obesity. So, you know, going back to the brain health.
And we don't have crossword puzzles in the paper. So, there you go.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, a lot of things that we have a lot of first generation here. And a lot of people, due to not having access to information or, like you said, they might not have access to the internet or to us here on the radio station. You know, this is probably your first time you're at the radio station to, you know, give out the information about Alzheimer's.
Correct.
English and Spanish.
Correct.
So if people would be more aware of the signs and symptoms, you know, let's promote for them to go to their doctor to disclose, you know what, this is what's been going on, doctor, since, you know, this is what's happened to me. I've been forgetting things. You know, maybe it can be protected sooner.
Absolutely. And, you know, we definitely try to provide as much information and, you know, the recognized risk factors for Alzheimer's disease is age, family history, and genes. So, not gene, not blue gene.
Yeah, you knew.
So if there's a family member in your family that's had Alzheimer's, you're at higher risk.
Correct. And, you know, there is that probability, but age seems to be the most recognized risk factor. You know, Alzheimer's disease is the 21st century, you know, health epidemic. 1 in 8 baby boomers will develop Alzheimer's.
This just boggles the mind. I'm just imagining.
You're a baby boomer, aren't you?
I kind of count myself as like the first year of Generation X because I know baby boomers and they're all older than me. You know? So I'm not sure where that. I don't think the Gen X people actually claim me.
I'm a Gen X.
Yeah, see, you're not claiming me. I can already tell.
Well, I mean, you know, baby boomers, Generation X. I mean, it's out there, and the statistics are alarming. You know, 5.2 million Americans currently live with Alzheimer's, and unfortunately, that number is expected to grow to as many as 16 million by the year 2050. Every 70 seconds, an American develops Alzheimer's. 1 in 10 people over the age of 65 have Alzheimer's disease, and that number increases by 50% for those who are over 85 years old.
Oh, you know what? I can see this adding up in my head because you've got people living to be older.
Mm-hmm.
I keep hearing over and over again on news about the obesity epidemic in this country. And which you've already said, you know,
diabetes
increases your risk of that. It's not good for your brain to be, you know, overweight. And if you look at Imperial Valley, we've got a lot of people who don't have a lot of money. And people who don't have a lot of money, what kind of food do they typically eat?
Fast food.
Not very good food.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, they go down to staples that are stuff that's, you know, filling, but not necessarily healthy.
Well, I mean, it's pretty much like, you know, like it says, a health epidemic, you know, and there are socioeconomic factors, there are health factors involved, and for Imperial Valley, you know, it's even more alarming because we are such a small community, and you know, it is expected that by the year 2030, the number of Latinos or Hispanics living with Alzheimer's will triple in California, and the current estimate right now is a little over 91,000 people. And in Imperial County, it is also expected that there are 2,500, a little bit more, over 2,500 people in Imperial County living with Alzheimer's disease. And that number is expected to increase to close to 6,000 by the year 2030. And among the Imperial County baby boomers, and for those who don't know what baby boomers are the people that are between the ages of 44 and 62 years old, 7,091 people will develop some form of dementia over their lifetime. And of these diagnoses, probably 5,000 or more will be Alzheimer's disease.
You sit next to somebody who's 62 and claim to be the same generation as they are in the uphill. And this is a huge local problem. You guys are already up and giving services.
What kind of services are these sites support groups?
Well, definitely we offer a 24-hour helpline that, you know, is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our number is 1-800-272-3900, and our local office number is 760-335-3725. One of the most, I think, important programs that we offer locally is the respite program. And the respite program is through volunteers that provide companionship to individuals and our households that are living with Alzheimer's disease. And this is something that makes a huge difference in the family's lifestyle, you know, over a period of time. usually when we've gotten requests for respite, the family caregiver is burned out, you know, stressed, very emotional, tired, health-wise, they're not doing so well. And so, you know, this a volunteer comes in a couple of hours a week, and, you know, the family caregiver can take advantage.
Chance to breathe.
Yeah.
Exactly. Whether they want to take a nap, go to watch a movie, you know, because this disease is a 24/7, you know, disease. And there, I mean,
did we mention people with Alzheimer's sometimes don't sleep very much?
Exactly. Exactly. There's, I mean, typically in older seniors, the sleep cycle begins to change. You know, with Alzheimer's disease, I mean, there is a drastic change in their sleep cycle where there's a sleep during the day and awake thinking that there's sunlight and that everything is open at 2 o'clock in the morning. And that, you know, ties into another program that we offer, which is the Safe Return Program. And this is a medical ID bracelet, you know, that has basic information. You know, we provide it free of charge right here in the Valley to individuals who are at risk of wandering. And it's just a great tool for family members who are struggling with individuals that have the disease that tend to go out at night and, you know, wander out.
Because going for a walk is one of the things that people with Alzheimer's seem to find rather appealing in a weird way.
Well, it's not that they like to walk. They have, you know, like a destination.
One step leads to another.
No, it's like they have a destination. It's like, you know, since, like Maria said, they aren't familiar with their current environment.
They want to go on.
They probably are assuming that, you know,
this is a new place.
It's a new place, and then they have to go home because, you know, short-term memory seems to be affected first, so therefore their long-term memory is still good. And so they may probably be thinking, I need to go back to my childhood home that's in Yuma or
somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
I need to get there. I know how they probably remember how it looks, but they just have to find that right house.
Correct. So, you know, the
short-term memory may not help them navigate locally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, the respite program and the Safe Return Medical Lit Plus Safe Return program are two programs that are very important here in the Valley because it kind of goes hand in hand, you know, and it just eases the burden to some extent. To
how many of these 2,500 now, 6,000 in 20 years, how many of those 2,500 are hooked up into your services?
Well, that's the unfortunate part. Not too many, whether it be through lack of resources, whether it be that these individuals haven't reached out to us or we haven't been able to get to them. We have been providing these services for several years now. So, you know, unfortunately, things happen and there are changes in these individuals' lifestyles. Sometimes they relocate, sometimes they are transferred to a facility. And so, but it's an ongoing thing where we provide service to anyone who has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease or some form of dementia. We will definitely provide.
Could it be that maybe the family members just think, you know what, I'll take care of my loved one. I can handle it.
That is another challenge.
I don't need the Alzheimer's Association. I can do it.
That is another challenge that we seem to face. It's a very
personal, very, you know,
taboo.
Yes.
Type of
disease. There's shame associated with that in some respects.
Yes.
And they should not feel like that.
Well, I mean, you know, it hasn't happened here, but I'm kind of picturing this scenario where it's probably a very important politician, you know, that may have been recently diagnosed, and the wife obviously has standards to uphold.
Well,
and, you know,
it's just
reaching
like,
out.
Well, just like how it happened with President Reagan.
Exactly.
You know, we never saw no picture or anything. It was very, you know, because you want to remember that person, you know, Reagan, you know, the movie star, and then the president, and very, how can you say, just very a strong president. He showed
like dialed him. In, anyway, to be president.
But then, you know, you slowly saw that.
You begin to see the deterioration.
The deterioration, you know, when he was doing, you know, speaking, even I think when he was in the White House, so towards the end.
Oh, yeah. And so things like, these types of challenges are very evident here in the Valley. A lot of families take on that responsibility and become very territorial and say, you know what, I'm going to do this.
But because it's a progressive disease, the weight gets heavier,
and heavier. Correct.
And at some point, maybe, to the breaking point.
Correct. And that's where we also try to provide, you know, some type of relief to the caregiver, because we definitely understand that their role is very important in the progression of the disease. And the caregiver needs to also be very healthy.
Didn't she mention family history is a risk factor and stress is a risk factor?
Correct.
Oops.
Yeah, the caregiver might be at risk also.
Yes. And so aside from the respite program and the Safe Return program, we also offer care consultation. You know, people can go into the office and we can just try to work out a plan, you know, let them know what is offered out in the Valley, and just very personalized type of assistance that we try to offer these individuals. And also we participate in, you know, local community events, you know, and try to advocate for families, you know, whether it's...
Spread the word,
yes, you know. And we do this at a federal, state, and local level. And we definitely try to be out there as much as possible. We also provide caregiver education courses and professional education to anyone or any type of facility that wants to learn more about the disease and train their staff on the disease. And so we have different types of services that, I guess, you know, pretty much help out everyone in the community. And it's very important to do that. So.
Good. You wanted to mention something about a fundraiser.
Yes.
Talking about that, you know, that you participated
in community events. Mm-hmm. And well, we have our second annual. We're very excited to have our second annual Bowl-a-thon this upcoming September 23rd, 2010, at the Brunswick Bowling Alley.
A good place for a bowl-a-thon.
I know.
Correct. And it's in observance of World Alzheimer's Day, which is on September 21st, but...
better day for bowling.
Mm-hmm. A better day. The 23rd, correct. Mm-hmm. So the event will actually be from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., and anyone who is interested in participating can contact our office at 760-335-3725 for more information. And we encourage everyone to come out there. We're going to have prizes to raffle, and it's just a really good opportunity for individuals to get to know who we are and have fun at the same time. So, September 23rd.
So, as a nonprofit, you guys are out there having to kind of hustle stuff off, huh?
Correct. Always.
Always.
Always. Mm-hmm. Always. That's part of our job.
But then, you know, if you wouldn't be here in the Valley, there would be a lot of families.
And, you know,
without any, you know,
support. It's funny that a lot of families get to, you know, they come up to us and they say, you know, we didn't even know there was an Alzheimer's Association here. And the office has been running since 1997 mm-hmm. in the Valley. So I think
When people, young people, you know, that's the last thing that they want to know. Or they, okay, yes, Alzheimer's, okay, that's for older people. Well, you know, it doesn't affect me. You know, my parents are okay.
Kind of overlooked.
Yeah, overlooked until it affects you, you know, until a loved one is diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
But I think, like you said, we should all be aware. Neighbors, if you notice that, you know, all of a sudden the neighbor next door to you would go on walks, grocery shopping, and everything, all of a sudden,
and I think
you haven't seen them.
I did mention that, as a matter of fact, yesterday. I think that we as a community need to strengthen our partnerships, whether it be through fundraisers, whether it be through community events or school fairs, anything, to get to know who we live with. I was giving an example that when I was younger, you know, growing up, I pretty much never hung out.
Younger than 26? How old are you?
I'm 30. No. 29. All right, I'm not even here.
You just crossed over.
No, but
gray hair.
Great, thanks. No, when I was, you know, an adolescent.
Okay.
You know, you're in your own world, and you really don't, you know, commiserate with your neighbors. And so now, given this opportunity that I get to go out to, you know, people's homes and just understand the dynamics, you know, of what they're going through, I think it's very important to kind of lend a helping hand and get to know everyone in your community, because you can be that person to help out and kind of identify, oh, something's wrong with this person. Like I said, you know, it could be the mailman who goes in, you know, every day, delivers the mail, and begins to see
mail outside.
Mail outside. The lawn is way, you know, it's too
overgrown.
Yeah, overgrown. And, you know, the people in the community that could definitely pinpoint what's going on with that person that, you know, may or may not be going through something, you know, like Alzheimer's or other types of dementia.
So we always have to be aware.
And have relationships with mm-hmm. our neighbors and stuff. Huh? Because I'm thinking about it and thinking, well, geez, you know, elderly people who may be at risk of Alzheimer's, as we're talking about this today, probably have quite a bit to offer teenagers. And there may be some good relationships there that could be built and help teenagers to maybe, you know, have a little bit less risk in their lives. So I think it could be a gift that gives both ways.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of, you know, our responsibility as an association to reach out to younger generations and also educate. So probably future partnerships can come out of that. And like you said, you know, maybe younger people, teenagers or younger professionals can volunteer and help out seniors that are dealing with this disease or any type of other diseases, you know, that are affecting our community. And that's something, that's a direction that we want to take. You know, we definitely want to include everyone, because mm-hmm. this disease does not discriminate, you know, does not discriminate age, race, ethnicity, nothing.
Social, economic.
Nothing. And so I think the more we know, the more we are aware, I think we're better off, everyone. So.
Going back with the respite care, volunteers, if somebody wants to be a volunteer or, you know, be a respite care caregiver,
they could definitely, you know, give us a call. There is a process involved, mm-hmm. but if the volunteer meets the requirements, we can definitely try to see if there is availability. And for any type of information, you know, in relation to what we've talked about, they can give us a call, and we'd be more than happy to provide the answers. So
yeah. Well, and your phone lines are going to line up now, because you've got 2,500 people in Imperial Valley that already are diagnosed technically with this disease. So those people, if they're listening, should be able to call you guys up and say, hey, respite care. That sounds like a great idea. I haven't been out of the house in 5 years.
Correct.
Because of all of the intensity of this care.
And it's become, like you said, Alzheimer's is progressive disease, so it's going to get...
I mean, that would be one of the cool things from this show, is that people who are right now dealing with somebody in their homes with Alzheimer's and doing their best and realizing it's like a ton of work, that they hear this and they can respond to you. And then you have a huge shortage of respite people. So we want them to volunteer too, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
And then, you know, that way they can also go to the support groups.
Yes.
You need to go to the support groups.
Yes, and the support groups are offered throughout the valley. We have one in Brawley. We have two in Calexico. We have one in El Centro. And they're offered once every month. And they can also give us a call, too, so we can give them, you know, the details on schedule, time and place and everything. It's an open meeting. So anyone can join the support group if they want to discuss on a specific issue, if they want information on the disease. That's the whole intention of the support groups. And I think what you did mention on the respite care is, this is why we definitely try to have these fundraisers, you know, to continue to support these programs financially, and also all the funds that are gained through these fundraisers stay in the Valley. So I think that's another important factor to take into account, that everything that we do stays in the Valley, because we want to continue providing support to all families and everyone here in the community.
So we need to bring that flyer again so we can say it again next time at the radio show. Keep on saying, remind people about the fundraiser.
Cool.
So let's recap here. First of all, we're supposed to take care of our brains, right?
Yes.
And what do we do to take care of our brains?
Eat healthy,
exercise, you know, be socially involved in the community, work on those crossword puzzles.
How about Sudoku? Does that help?
Everything helps. I think everything
Sudoku.
I think everything that just kind of works the brain helps out.
Hanging out on Facebook.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I think we're already too used to that. We
making
need something more challenging.
Social. Oh, there it is. Nice.
Might have thrown his phone. I don't know what it has. Crossword puzzle?
Yes.
Okay. Scrabble. Yeah, that's true.
Scrabble. Learning new words. I guess, you know, reading a couple of pages of the dictionary every day.
Or probably any reading engages the brain in a different way, huh?
Any type of newspaper, magazines.
I wonder if they found the gene or something that causes Alzheimer's.
Yeah, he did mention genes. I remember that.
There are, you know, some specific genes that, you know, are correlated with Alzheimer's disease.
That would be scary for me to find out.
But, you know, the sad thing is that, you know, since there isn't any cure for the disease.
That's why.
I think, you know, the sad part is that, but, you know, the association definitely tries to do extensive research. So that's
and that takes a lot of money. That takes a lot of money. Research, you know, development, trying to find that, you know, cure.
So funding is another issue that, you know, I think a lot of you are not.
And the brain, and you're working with the brain. Well, I mean, plus you're working with the brain, which is the most complicated. I mean, it's just, what did they say, that we only use like 10% of our brain?
No, and
it's undiscovered, yeah. 90% of it is too.
And then another limiting factor into the research part is that a lot of the individuals who are diagnosed or really don't know that they had Alzheimer's usually happens it's until after they pass away.
Because you can't really, like, look at the brain.
Correct.
It's still operating.
Yes.
Okay, so support the Alzheimer's Association for research and for local care. That's point two. Take care of your brains. Support you guys. Check in on our people who may be at risk, and pretty much that's your elderly people. Huh.
Correct.
Be aware of your community. Be aware of your neighbor. Be aware.
Being aware, and I think not also being afraid to reach out. I think, you know, no one has to deal with any type of disease by themselves. You know, that's why there are so many resources, yet not so many, but, you know, the resources that are available, I think everyone should be entitled to use them and to educate themselves. And so we definitely try to reach out that hand and offer the help that the caregiver, the brother, the sister, the mother, the parent, anyone who is going through this disease. And I think, you know, having that sense of community, again, is very important.
So community, we've got 2,500 people out there with Alzheimer's.
And it's going to grow.
And we've got an Alzheimer's Association, and Frank's the manager, and we expect you all to find them and get them all in touch with Frank, so Frank can provide them with the supportive services and care to make their lives that much more enjoyable and take care of them. Because you don't know, it might be you getting Alzheimer's next year or in 20 years
or
50 years.
Or a family member.
Yeah.
Or a family member, yeah. Well, and, you know, again, you know, for those people, those individuals that, you know, don't have a telephone but have an internet, you know, our website is www.sanals.org. That's SANALZ www.suitebee.org. And our address is 584 Suite B, West Main Street, here in El Centro. And we're on Main Street, so I think, you know, anyone can stop by, get some information, or visit us on the website, or give us a call at 760-335-3725.
If I type Alzheimer's Association Imperial County into the browser, I bet that gets you guys.
I think so.
Yeah. It'll be good. It'll be Imperial.
Great. Thanks for coming aboard today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you. All right. Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. It's been another adventure of Let's Talk About It, Your Voice for Wellness here in Imperial Valley. Join us again next week. Scott and Maria.
With another exciting program.
Always a pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Carla Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.